It is a pleasure to be joined by Tim Rubin. He is a graduate of Harvard College and Harvard Law School, a veteran trial lawyer. He founded his own litigation firm in Los Angeles, where he actively publishes articles on topics of law and society. He was inspired by his legal experiences. He has come out with his first wholly fictional thriller killer novel, Tequila. Again, when he's not practicing law or writing, he plays tennis, golf, and hikes with his wife and two big dogs and enjoys imbibing aged spirits, including, of course, tequila. Tequila is the name of the book, and it has a subtitle, A Story of Success, Love, and Violence. It's called a Brian Youngman novel, and it sounds like if you read the book, you're going to find out that there seems to be a lot of Brian Youngman. Was there a lot of Brian Youngman in you, Tim Rubin? Tim Rubin, excuse me?
Well, hello, Steve. How are you? And I confess that there's a bit of me in Brian Youngman. Yes, that's true. Brian is a trial lawyer, and so am I, obviously. He's a divorce lawyer. That's not my area of specialty, although I certainly have tried divorce cases in my 45 years. But most of my work has been in lots of other areas. That said, Brian is tip-top, and he is bright, intelligent, went to great schools. He was a prosecutor. He started out as a prosecutor, didn't want to go into big law and bill clients for big money. He wanted to put people who deserved to be put in jail. So that was his belief. And then he leaves the prosecutor's office and opens his own little shop, puts out a shingle, and takes on everything, and discovers that family law and divorce law is a very good way to go. He, unfortunately, he learns that because he gets divorced, sadly. And as he gets divorced, he recognizes, gee, maybe I should go into this business. It's pretty lucrative. And that's where we find him when he enters the story of Tequila, a divorce lawyer in Los Angeles representing a woman who is getting a divorce from a family member that is part of the massive empire of Ram Company, a tequila distributor.
Indeed, and this company and that contact led to a whole series of interactions and discovery of what three generations of a family. So it had been going on for a long time. We were talking before we went on. I said, you know, big money, when you have big money and you have a lot of bad people around that want that big money, it can certainly complicate your life. It certainly did complicate the story of Tequila. I think we think of Mexico, and what do we think of when we think of bad people in Mexico? We think of the cartel. But there's other bad people, too. But, I mean, the cartel, as I said, that really is, that's what they have done in Mexico and what they've been able to control. It is a very scary situation, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And Mexico is a marvelous country. It's beautiful. It's got wonderful people, fabulous food. It's got wonderful culture. You know, you've got the beaches on both sides, and Mexico should be very different than it is. But unfortunately, today we do get warnings from the U.S. government that if you go to certain parts of Mexico, they can't even get you back. There's risks of robberies and kidnappings, and that's very sad. I sure hope that changes, but it is the circumstances today. I've been to Mexico many, many times, and I've had wonderful experiences there, and certainly have tasted plenty of tequila. But I've also seen some things like the folks with machine guns patrolling. It's a scary thing to see. When I went down there one time with my young children, and you know, you see the machine guns on the beach, you go, oh no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Wish it were different. Hope it changes. Want it to change, because we're desirous to continue to go to Mexico and enjoy that wonderful country.
I was telling Tim earlier about it. I was down in Mexico, and I was in the Mazatlan area, and it was, you know, the striking, the outrageously striking abject poverty that I was seeing on our way to basically to a ranch and to ride horses. But the poverty along the way, the windows with iron with bars on them, and the poverty of the extreme poverty, to me, that was the probably as striking of anything. But again, as you have poverty, you know, the other interesting thing is that you've got this, as I said, the story of Maria Ramirez, CEO of RAM. That's a luxury spirits powerhouse, big money, all of that's going on, and three generations of the family. And now she's got all that going on. And so you have extreme wealth and extreme poverty all mixed together in the country of Mexico, and a cartel to really mix things up. Put all those together, and you got a story, right?
Oh, quite a story. Now, the story is multi-generational, as you say. It's a family saga involving this multi-billion-dollar international conglomerate built on the production and distribution of tequila. You know, the book begins in the 50s in the agave fields of Mexico, where the patriarch Sotero Ramirez works the land. He inherited from his father, and he decides to make a special kind of tequila, which ends up being a smashing hit. You know, they send it to America. America loves it. The company takes off. RAM Corporation becomes big, but not without some terrible and violent sacrifices due to the local drug gangs. And, of course, Sotero wants to make a family company, so the family continues to grow it. His daughter, Marta, takes over, and then her daughter, Maria, takes over. They bring the company to Manhattan. One of the fun things about tequila is it happens all over the place. I mean, I tried to make lots of characters, lots of different people, and lots of places. So you're not just in Mexico. You're set in New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Houston, London, Scotland, Paris, the Cayman Islands, Jamaica. You run around quite a bit, and you're working with different characters. And I also tried to make the chapters short. I like short chapters so that you can read the chapter, and you might be in one place with one character, and then you get right to another chapter, and you're with a different character in a different place. And hopefully that, I'm told, that makes the book run quickly. It's plot-driven, and you can read it and read it pretty fast. That's what folks tell me. And they say it's a little bit like, if you know the show Succession, which was popular recently, and if you combine Succession with Narcos, that's a little bit about what tequila is about. It's the struggles of a family that's also dealing with the criminal element that they have to address, and then all the problems and strife. And Maria, you mentioned her. She's got two brothers, one of whom is evil in Miami and one of whom is getting that divorce in Los Angeles, which is, of course, where the divorce court comes in. And Brian Youngman, my protagonist, ends up being adverse to the company because his client wants a piece of the company. And, of course, that happens in divorce courts all the time, that there are big struggles when there's big money. We talk about big struggles, not just out of court, but in the courtroom. That's when people become very willing to fight pretty hard to get that big piece of the pie.
No doubt about it. And again, you know, back to your story, though. Again, the fact is, deciding to write a novel, especially a thriller novel, and doing a very good job of it. But again, the fact is, was this something you had in mind? Or was this a dream in the back of your head that you decided that you wanted to do someday and then finally decided to do it? Or how did that happen?
Well, you're right on. It's a mountain. It was a mountain to climb. I wanted to climb that mountain. That's kind of the guy I am. But back in the days of high school, you know, I was doing short stories and other creative writing. But what happened is the career. The law career required complete devotion. I had to work very hard to build my career. And then, of course, family happened, children, and I wanted to be with the kids and coach soccer and baseball and basketball and go to the piano lessons and the voice lessons, et cetera, and be part of all that. And, you know, you just don't have the time with life being so busy. But now I'm an empty nester. I've got those kids all gone and grown up. So now I had the time to climb that mountain that I'd been looking at climbing for a while, and I figured, why not? And let me tell you something. It's a high mountain to climb. It's hard to write a book. I didn't recognize it at the time. Maybe I would have not climbed the mountain if I thought it was so tough. But anyway, I started, and it took me about a year and a half, and because I was working full time still. And I would come home at cocktail hour. Instead of having a cocktail, I'd write about tequila.
Okay.
So that's how I got it done that way.
You know, I think the fact is, I've talked to a lot of people, their first novel is special. It's learning about not only the writing, but it's the rewriting and the editor and then rewriting again. You got to rewrite a lot, don't you?
Oh, so much. That was another factor that was huge in terms of taking the time. But I remember I sent my first draft to the editor, and I said, okay, I'm interested to see what happens. She came back with something like 8,000 changes. So she was suggesting. I said, oh, what? What? I mean, some of them are commas, but some of them are all kinds of little thises and thats. However, fortunately, I was able to get through all of them, but then I had to rewrite it again after we went through that set of changes, and then we went through another set of changes. So, yeah, it's a process. It's not something for the weak or fearful, let me tell you.
It's been said that a great editor is what makes a great writer, and I think there's some, you might find some truth in that yourself. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you don't think about certain issues while you're writing. Hopefully, I mean, writing, I found writing Tequila fun. And that's really an important point. I want people to have fun reading it. I had fun writing it. And when you're having fun writing it, I discovered you just have to go. And you're going just typing along, and the characters take over, and they start doing things that, you know, you don't even expect. And you just type as quickly as your fingers can go. Of course, when you're doing that, you're not actually necessarily being as careful about your grammar or your choice of words or whatever. That's where the editor comes up and cleans you up a bit. And that was really helpful because the writing part itself was fun. The editing was not as much fun, I'll tell
Indeed.
You right now.
Well, Tequila, it's a great first novel. I'm going to guess you have, is this going to be something of you, is this now your vocation or is this an avocation?
Well, I'm very confused about that. I don't know what I am right now. I'm still a lawyer. I'm still a mediator, but I'm also writing all the time. And I actually have my second book. It's the first draft is all done. So it also is a Brian Youngman novel, and it's about ready to go through that editor process that you described. I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm hoping I did a better job this time so I don't have 8,000 suggestions.
Tim Rubin, the book is called Tequila, and that book is out now. Is it at major bookstores, Tim?
Well, you can get it on Amazon. Everybody seems to get everything on Amazon. Or you can, you know, my wife is constantly on Amazon. You know, she whips out her phone and immediately orders. So, but you can go on timrubin.com. That's my website. You have to spell the name right. Tim Rubin is R-E-U-B-E-N, like the Rubin sandwich. If you find that, you'll find out more about the book. You can order it from there. If you go on Amazon, if you just say tequila, you might just get a bunch of bottles of tequila to order. So you probably have to say Tequila, a story of success, and it'll pop right up.
Tim.
Because it's a story of success, love, and violence. And there's love, but there's violence.
Yes, there is. There is indeed. Tim Rubin, the book Tequila. Tim, thank you so much for joining me. Good luck, and we'll look forward to having you again when the second book is out, okay?
Well, thank you. I'd love to, Steve. It's been a pleasure.